We have all the ladies, please. All the ladies are going to sing the first half of the verse, number 3, down to that word, your own. And then when we come to the second half of that verse, we'd like the men to join in as well. So ladies in the first half of this verse, and men will come in on the second half. Before we bow in a word of prayer, just one announcement. Somebody has left their car lights on, and if you own a Ford, the registration is YP63FXD. So that's YP63FXD, and it's a Ford. So if you own that car, you've left your lights on, and you'll probably be needing a push by the end of the meeting. So go out now and switch them off. Let's bow together in a word of prayer. We'll ask that the Lord might come among us tonight, might even know his blessing upon this meeting. Our Father and our God in heaven, Lord, it is with humility that we would approach into thy throne room of grace. And Lord, we acknowledge, Lord, what a marvel and what a mystery it is that God, who is holy, 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 would ever have loved a man who was sinful, vile, and wicked. Lord, we marvel, O God, that you would have ever taken an interest in this human race. And yet, O God, out of your great love and mercy and compassion, you sent your Son into the world. Lord, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And Lord, tonight we rejoice in the person and in the work of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We realize, O Lord, we approach, Lord, not on any ground of our own merit, or Lord, not on any works of our own. We approach, Lord, upon his merit, upon his works. We thank you, O Lord, for that day when our sins, Lord, were taken away and we were clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And Lord, it was given to us, not, Lord, by works of righteousness which we have done, but Lord, by simple faith. By simple faith, O God. A faith that was even given to us by your grace. And Lord, we do thank you tonight for our Savior. And Lord, what a wonderful thing it is. How it is so easy, O God, to lose the wonder of salvation. How it can be, O God, that we would lose, Lord, even the marvel of what it is for a young person or an older person to, Lord, being one moment dead in their sin, and next to being birthed into the kingdom of God. And Lord, it is our desire tonight, O Lord, that that may take place. We do pray for an outpouring of the Spirit of God. We confess, O God, the deadness and the apathy of our day. We confess, O God, the spiritual barrenness and the hardness that there seems to be. And Lord, there is a longing, there is a desire, O Lord, upon our hearts, that in these days you would outpour your Spirit upon us. Lord, how the preacher tonight needs the Spirit of God. And we pray, O Lord, that as he would preach the Word of God, that you would come down upon him, that you would lift him from the realm, O God, of the natural into the supernatural, that you'd lift his words, O God, from merely being words which would go to the just to the ears of the hearer. But Lord, there would be words, O God, that the Spirit of God would carry right down into the very heart. Lord, we think of the potential that there is in this room, potential for missionaries and preachers and ministers, godly housewives and godly men who work, elders and committee men and deacons and children's meeting workers. And Lord, how our churches, Lord, need an influx of young blood. And Lord, we do cry tonight that this would be a meeting. That, Lord, that you would be pleased, O God, to start a work, Lord, among the hearts of the young here. That, Lord, a work that would change them, O God, not just for a month, not just for 6 months, but a work of God that would change them for their entire lives and for eternity. God, we do think, O Lord, of past blessings. And Lord, how it was among the young people that God chose to move to start his revivals. We think of, Lord, the Welsh revival and how you started in the hearts of the young people and burdened them to pray. We think of the revival in the Isle of Lewis and that young man who cried, "Oh, who shall ascend in the hill of God? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart." And Lord, he cried, "Are these hands not clean? Is this heart not pure?" And Lord, the blessing of God came down. And Lord, it has always been, Lord, thy choosing, Lord, to work among the young. Lord, we even think of the Reformation. Lord, it was the young people who took Martin Luther's theses and got them printed and got them spread around. And Lord, we do pray for our own young people here this evening. We pray, O God, that there would be a gripping of their hearts, that the truths of Scripture would grip them. Lord, they would not just go through their lives aimlessly. But Lord, they would realize the greatest thing they could do with the life they have is to give it to Christ, is to follow him. Realize, O God, whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life will find it. Lord, we thank you for the joy, the satisfaction, the peace that there is in knowing Christ. Lord, I pray tonight, O God, that this would be a saving shop. Lord, that this would be a place, O God, where young people are born into the kingdom of God. Pour out thy Spirit upon us, even as we would sing. Help us to sing. Lord, as our sister Ruth comes to give a report, Lord, even use her report to stir the hearts of young people to go out and to evangelize, even across, O Lord, the United Kingdom. I pray for the report from the LTBS and the announcements and every other work that will take place. Lord, undertake for us, we pray. We trust in thee to outpour the Holy Ghost. And Lord, we know the Holy Ghost will come, for you have promised it, Lord. And you are not a God that breaks your promise. For if ye being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask? Lord, we ask, and we know that we will receive. So undertake, Lord, for we pray these things in thy precious name. Amen. Amen. At this point in our service, I'd like to ask our brother, the Reverend David Brown, to come. And he's going to give a few announcements to us, and then he's also going to show to us Let the Bible Speak video presentation. So,
well, a word of welcome to you all this evening. Thank you so much for making the journey the whole way to Ballymoney. We warmly welcome you in the Saviour's precious name. Word of thanks also to the Ballymoney congregation and minister for permitting Youth Council to host the rally here tonight. It's always good to see a good representation, and we trust and pray that God will encourage you, bless you, and build you up tonight as we spend time together in God's house. Also, word of thanks to our young brother Andrew, who's a fourth-year theological student at our college, for leading for us here tonight. A few announcements. First of all, a couple of weekends here. The first weekend coming up is the training weekend. So it's next Friday. So it's really, really close. And we would love to get you on board for that. The training weekend is something we do every year. It's always been hugely beneficial. It's actually on the 17th of March, which is the anniversary of our denomination. So we'll squeeze in a little bit about the history of our denomination. It's also St. Patrick's Day, and we'll squeeze in a little bit about St. Patrick as well. But the main thrust of the training weekend this year is the resurrection. And young people, I would love you to get on board with this, and let's learn what we can about the resurrection. If the resurrection is very much a foundation to our Christianity, to our evangelism, if you don't understand the resurrection, you will struggle both in your faith and in your evangelism. So please come to it. We have the Reverend Dean. He's coming to take two lectures specifically on the evidences for the resurrection and why the resurrection actually happened and everything surrounding it. Also a couple of lectures on witnessing one-to-one and on doing kids' work. So listen, brilliant weekend. We'd love to have you all there. So please come to that if at all possible. Like I said, that'll be next Friday. Also, Castle Wellen, another brilliant weekend. So please come there as well. It's on the May bank holiday. And this is the third year for the Youth Council to do the Castle Wellen weekend. It's been going on for many years before we came on board. But it's been excellent the past 2 years. We would love to see lots of you coming. It's a really good time of fellowship. And we want you to fellowship with other people, other even young people from our own denomination as well, different churches. It's healthy. It's good. And we would want you to keep that in mind as well. You need to get application forms in there as soon as possible. Shannoch Moor, most of you are familiar with it. It's a full week that we run in August. It's full, but if there's someone here tonight who wants to come, we can maybe squeeze one more in. So see me tonight if you're interested in that. So three main events there, the Troon Weekend, Castle Wellen, Shannoch Moor. There's application forms just on your way in there. You would have seen them after you come through the double doors into the main auditorium here. Two outreaches. The first one is in Londonderry. That's the 21st to the 29th of July. That's a children's outreach with our Londonderry congregation. If you want to get involved in kids' work and train a little bit, but be used in a local church, here's your opportunity. So please try to keep that free and join with us there. 21st to the 29th of July. And then we're going to the Isle of Man as well. That will be the 13th to the 20th of August. Again, outreach. It's not children's work. It's working amongst the locals. And I want to really encourage you there because like a few years ago, one of our young people was knocking doors. He knocked on the door of a particular man. He led that young man to Christ. And that young man is now the minister in our congregation over in the mainland, the Reverend Becker. Also, regards to the Isle of Man, 10 years ago, the Youth Council was there knocking doors, and they knocked on a woman's door. They spoke to her. That woman came out that Sunday, and 10 years later, she's still going. So these are good weekends, rather good weeks of outreach, and certainly prayerfully consider that and come along as well. There's also a choir practice. There's lots going on here. It's a busy time of year for the Youth Council. There's the choir practice for the Easter Convention. And the Easter Convention, of course, is the Friday nights of the Easter Convention. But our practice is the 19th of March. We've already had one. You don't have to have been to it to join the next practice. So the 19th of March in the Martyrs Memorial Church, I have a couple of hymns that I want you to learn. And listen, it's really important to have a good group of young people there because I don't think there's anything which encourages our own denomination more than to see a group of young people singing for the glory of God at Easter Convention. I would love you to be a part of that as well and encourage our denomination and even be an instrument in glorifying God in that special annual weekend. Those are all the announcements from the Youth Council. There's one youth rally to mention here, and it's in our Coleraine congregation. It's this Sunday night, 8:45. Our young brother, Mr. Joseph Greer, will be singing and testifying at that rally. Those are all announcements made subject to God's will. If you want to see anything else in regards to the Youth Council, all the application forms, dates, details, prices for all those events are on the webpage, also in the application forms just on my left as you head out through the double doors there. Now, Let the Bible Speak have prepared a video for us to watch here tonight. And the purpose of it is just to promote the work of Let the Bible Speak, because as a committee, they want to tap into the expertise that you have, okay? So we're working in the media end, the TV, the radio, and they're needing expertise in all of those fields. So if any of you are able to help out there, you can speak to your local minister, and he'll be able to direct you on how to help Let the Bible Speak. Also, prayerfully and practically supporting them by seeking the Lord for them, and even financially giving, so that this important work of Let the Bible Speak can continue. So we'll now go ahead and show that video now, please.
that the Bible speaks.
Have some special singing now, and we're delighted that our youth from Randallstown have come and they're going to sing some music to us now. Thank you. Amen. We'd like to thank Randallstown Youth, those lovely pieces and song. And even that last verse, surely it is our desire that we would be like our Saviour and may have more and more like unto Him. The Youth Council every year tries or endeavours to send out outreach teams around the United Kingdom. And our sister Ruth Gailey had the privilege of being on one of those teams last year. And she's going to come now and give a report on the work that she was involved in.
Okay, so just before I start, I'd like to just read a couple of verses from Matthew chapter 19. It's verse 24 to 26. And it says, "And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." So last summer in August, I had the privilege of going over to Lewes, which is in the south of England, for just over a week with the Youth Council Outreach Team. The team was led by Noel Shields and Jonathan Smith, and then there were seven young people from different churches on the outreach. And there we met the Reverend Patrick Becker, who was overseeing the church at the time. So just a few things that we did while we were over there. We took part in the Sunday services, so we sang as a group, and then each service somebody would testify as well, and we took part in the prayer meeting. During the week, in the mornings, we did open airs, so in the town, and the people of the town wouldn't have a lot of time for the gospel. They'd be mostly atheists. So we did open airs. In the open airs, we would have sang, somebody would have testified, read Bible verses, and then somebody preached. We also had a book table with Bibles and different literature on it, and then we would have handed out tracts. In the afternoons, then we did some door-to-door work. I would have spoke to people on the doors and then give them tracts and leaflet dropped as well. There were some difficulties and challenges. People would have shouted at us and that while we were doing open airs or walking, doing door-to-door work. We had doors slammed in our faces and people refused to take what we were giving them. But we also had a lot of encouragements. We had some good conversations with people, and there was people who took our Bibles and our tracts, and one young fella came to the church on the Sunday night as well while we were there. But the outreach really helped me to rely on God and to know that it's not by what we do, it's what He can do through us. Like it says in the verse, it's with men it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. So just want to leave a few things for you to even pray for. Pray that God would use the work that we did on the outreach even still to speak to people, and pray that the congregation would grow because they're a small congregation, and that people would be saved, and pray for Philip Knowles and his family as they're out there now and they've took over the work. Thank you.
We thank our sister Ruth for giving that report. I would just add on to that, young people, there's plenty to get involved in. You have no excuse to say there's nothing for me to do. But from the LTBS and the youth weekends and Castlewellan weekend and the outreach over the summer, do plan and do endeavour to get involved. And I can speak from personal experience that those things will help you to grow as a Christian. You know, before I ever was in the college, I was at the training weekend, and I really needed it because it helped me through college as well. And so, young person, I would encourage you to go and to get involved even in the Lord's work and in these various things. We're going to have our offering hymn now, the hymn 416. 416. "O for a closer walk with God, a calm and heavenly frame, a light to shine upon the road that leads me to the Lamb." 416, and we're going to keep our seats while the offering is being received for the Lord's work.
Thank you.
Before the Reverend Park comes to bring God's Word, we're going to open our Bibles to the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis this evening, and we want to read from the chapter number 39. Genesis in the chapter number 39. I want to begin our reading at the verse number 1, and we'll read down to the end of the chapter, verse 23. So Genesis chapter 39, we'll read from verse 1, and let us hear the word of God. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Egypt, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and made him an overseer of his house. And all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused, and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her, to lie by her, or to be with her. And it came to pass, about this time, that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand, and fled, and got out. And it came to pass, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, "See, he hath brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, "The Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, After this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph, and showed him mercy, and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made him to prosper." Amen. We trust the Lord will bless the public reading of his word to our hearts. We're very glad tonight that the Reverend Park has come even to his own pulpit, and he's now going to preach God's precious word to us.
Thank you, Andrew, for leading tonight. It is a joy to be here, to see so many young people gathered, and I want to add my own words of welcome on behalf of our congregation, and especially our own young people, to all who have gathered for this special youth meeting tonight. Welcome in the Saviour's name. I can't remember if it was announced that there's tea, but supper will be served.
don't go away. Enjoy a time of fellowship and friendship together. Good to hear of the work of the Youth Council and the blessing of God that has been with this ministry over the years and under the leadership of the Reverend Brown. Good to hear of the outreach work and young people engaging themselves in this ministry. And we do encourage you to get to training weekends, to go on outreach if you can. There are other outreach works that have been announced. One of them I'll tell you about to Spain. It is now full. So the quorum has been reached. And if you're looking to go to Spain, you can't, because that group now is at its limit. Then there's another group going to Kenya, and they're going on a painting trip. Some young people here tonight, and you were on the painting trip many, many years ago when a group went out from Northern Ireland. Well, there's another one going out in the summertime, and here there's a good number have expressed an interest in it. We had our sister Noreen. She was home visiting family members around Christmas time, and she came to our youth fellowship on a Friday night, and she told us a little bit about the work in Uganda. And I think that our young people were very excited about what they heard. And I can remember just getting up at the end of the meeting and saying, would you like to go and help in that work? And you know, many of our young people said they would love to go. So that certainly sowed a seed in our minds. And we began to think about the possibility of our youth fellowship going out and doing something in Uganda. So the first thing was to say, is it doable? And we asked Noreen, is this a possibility? Could this happen? And she came back with a very positive reply, and she said yes. Then we had to make sure our youth leader was on board. And he said yes, we give it support, and we will give it all of our support in the coming days. And then we thought, well, we would need to get the elders of the church behind us. And so in our session, we talked to the men about it, and the session are 100% behind it. So we took the project to the mission board and asked for permission. And the mission board's happy that our young people from the fellowship, those that are able to go out in 2019 and do a vocational Bible school with the young people of Emmanuel Christian School. So pray for the young people. And we encourage other fellowships to get engaged in evangelism, the work of missionary endeavor, and to do what you can. We have young people here tonight, and you've been on trips like this before. We have ministers, we have missionaries, we have ministers' wives, and as Andrew said, some of these things were preludes to what they did, and they got engaged in the Lord's work in their early years, in their teens, and into their 20s, and it led them into further service. So we encourage that. Now, will you pray for the Reverend Brown and myself? Because next month, in the will of God, we're going to Uganda. And one of the main purposes of going is to have a Bible conference with pastors. There's a man by the name of Pastor Joel, and we met Joel a number of years ago. And it's quite interesting because as we sat at the table in the city of Kampala, he just looked at me and said, we would like you to take over our churches. And I said, how many? And he said, we have 70 churches. So I thought, well, that's not possible. We're trying to take over one church in Uganda, and that's enough just at the moment. But what we said was maybe we could have a pastor's conference sometime. And so Joel wrote to the mission board. Mission board asked, would we go? And we asked if the Reverend Brown, the president of the Youth Council, would be able to travel as well. So God willing, in the middle of next month, I think the date is the 12th, we'll be traveling there. We'll be doing a Bible conference. Now, Joel is thinking big. He tells me that they're hoping to have 500 pastors, leaders, and church leaders at this conference. If we get 100, we'll be very, very pleased with that. But he's certainly inviting all the pastors and the leaders of the various churches that he has responsibility for. And we have a program to work through, interesting subjects, both in doctrinal areas and practical areas that we want to bring these pastors and leaders to consider over the period of time that we're there. And of course, we're visiting Emmanuel Christian School, spending time with the young people there and with our missionaries who serve Christ there. So we ask for your prayers. We came to this meeting tonight. I wondered, you know, we have the opportunity to speak to the youth of the Free Church tonight. in this youth rally. What should I preach on? And there are subjects that are very near to my heart. One, for example, is the subject of evangelism. I have the privilege of teaching personal evangelism in the Whitfield College for 11 years. And I certainly encourage young people to get involved in this ministry of outreach. Souls are perishing and dying round about us, and we need to reach them with the gospel. And that is the mandate that the Lord has given to us. We are to go into the world and preach the gospel. And that begins right here at home. Wherever you're from, you've got a Jerusalem which speaks of the home front. And then, of course, the other work that we're very much burdened for is linked to the work of evangelism, and that is missionary endeavor. And we would just love to challenge all you young people about missionary work and doing something for the Lord, whether it's just going out for a couple of weeks to the mission field or spending a little period out there for a month or a couple of months and coming alongside the missionaries and helping them and encouraging them. It's something worthwhile considering, and maybe the Lord would put his hand upon you and say to you, I want you to be a missionary yourself. I want you to go to this country or that country and be my representative there, be an ambassador for me there. It would certainly be our prayer that God will work in your heart to that end. But the more I thought about it and prayed about it, my mind and heart was drawn to this chapter of the Word of God. Thank you, Andrew, for reading it tonight. And I want to talk to you about Joseph. And we have a title that we have in this message, A Young Man Standing for God Amidst the Conflicts of Life. I'm going to pray, ask the Lord to help us in the ministry of the Word. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for all that has gone before. We thank Thee for those who have taken part, the ministry and song, the report that has been given, the hymns that we have sung tonight, the work of Let the Bible Speak. And as we draw now to the end of this meeting and come to Your Word, it is our earnest prayer that the Lord, by His grace, will help us to settle our minds and our hearts down before Thee, and that we will have that cry in our heart, Lord, speak to me tonight. Lord, we would count this a vain time if we came to the house of God and we left the house of God just the same way. But Lord, we're asking Thee for Your help tonight to direct our way, to focus our minds, to think about Your Word just for this little time in the closing minutes of this youth rally. We pray that young people will have the ability just to sit up and to listen to what God is saying. Lord, we know it's not so much important what the preacher has to say, but what God is saying through the Word, what the preacher has to say concerning the Word tonight. And so, Lord, do speak to us. Give us the help that we need to bring the message. In Jesus' name, amen. We believe in the perseverance of the saints. The Bible teaches that those who are saved ought to persevere, to go on with God in this world. We believe in grace to help. The Lord gives us grace every day to walk with Him in a way that is pleasing in His sight. We believe in a surrendered life. Our lives ought to be handed over to the Lord as living sacrifices, just to present ourselves to the Lord and say, Lord, here's my life. Do with me as Thou wilt. We believe in divine enablement, in overcoming power, in sanctifying grace. We believe in holiness in our Christian walk. God has given the grace that is needed for any person in the Christian life to live the way that God has intended him to live. Through all the varied problems of life, the temptations, the difficulties, the pressures, the trials, and the sorrows that we will encounter upon this earth. Enoch walked with God. You think of the time in which he walked with God. It was a very dark period of time in the world's history. His great-great-grandson, Noah, walked with God. It's the only two people in the Bible that we read of that actually walked with God. There's many people who walked with God, but the phrase is used of these two men, Enoch and Noah. They walked with God. And that period in which Noah walked with God was one of the darkest periods that this world has ever known. There was a fountain of evil bursting forth from the hearts of the inhabitants of the world back then, insomuch that God purposed to destroy the earth in a flood. Abraham walked with God in the midst of all the trials that he had to face. Daniel and his three friends, removed from their home, taken into a foreign country there in the kingdom of Babylon, they walked with God in the darkest circumstances and stood for the Lord. Obadiah, connected to the palace of Ahab, he walked with God, and his counterpart, we think of Elijah, the prophet of fire, in the midst of all that he had to contend with, especially against idolatry and false worship, he stood for God and walked with the Lord in that period of time. Come to the New Testament, Peter walked with God through his life. Stephen, the first Christian martyr, likewise. Paul, we read so much about his sufferings and all that he endured for the cause of the gospel. But the Lord gave him divine enablement, and all the other disciples too. And we think of, over the period of church history, martyrs and reformers, how that they stood for the Lord in the midst of trial. And of course, this young man that we're going to think about tonight, Joseph. Now it all begins in really knowing the Lord. You've got to settle that matter first of all. That you know Christ. That you're in Christ. That you're saved by the grace of God. You can't walk with the Lord. You can't go through the course of life's journey and persevere and know the sanctifying work of God in your life until first of all you know his redeeming grace and you are justified in his sight. That you have a saving, vital, living relationship with Jesus Christ, that you're saved, and then thereafter you can go on with the Lord. Now those that know the Lord will walk with him. Maybe you're asking the question, what about those who say they know the Lord and they don't walk with God? Well, there's only two possible answers to that. Either on one hand they are cold and carnal and they are far away from God and they need restoration. And of course, it's a very dangerous place to be in, walking that way. Or else, very simply, they've never been converted in the first place. There's people who say, I'm a Christian, I know the Lord, but they don't walk with God. And it's for this simple reason, they don't know the Lord in the first place. I want to tell you, young people, Jesus Christ died to make us holy. Jesus died to make us overcomers, that we might triumph in the Christian life. He died to give us victory. One of the godliest young men in Bible history is this young man, Joseph. He was the 11th son of Jacob, born to Rachel. He was born in the land of Haran. Chapter 30 tells about him coming into the world. He was born there before his father took his family back home to the land of Canaan in chapter 33 of Genesis. He grew up to know the Lord and had many conflicts to face, many battles to fight, and temptations to overcome. It's not going to be any different for you and I, young people. The trial of our faith will come. Not might come. You put that out of your mind. The trial of your faith will come. It's an absolute certain thing that you will be tried for your faith. We are soldiers. That's one of the pictures that the Bible presents to us of what a Christian is. We are soldiers and therefore we're in a battle. We are in a war zone and Satan is at large. It's how we face our problems. Whether by the grace of God we rise up in victory or we go down in the fight. And I believe tonight we can learn from Joseph. So let's look at him this evening. First of all, I want you to notice the hostility of his brothers. I have just 3 points tonight, and each time I make a point, I want to tell you something of what Satan is trying to do. And so as you think of the hostility of his brothers, I want to remind you, young people, that Satan is trying to destroy our families. We actually read that they hated him. You just turn back a page or two to chapter 37. And in verse 4, we learn that they hated him. And that strong language in the original, this word of hate, he was only 17 years of age. He was just a teenager, but he was hated. Now we know that he was a very honourable young man. If you look at this chapter before you, chapter 37 and verse 2, we are told that Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now this wasn't gossip. This wasn't young Joseph just telling stories on his brother. This was an honorable thing that he had done. When he spoke about the scandalous way in which his brothers were living, and he brought this report to his father, and we see honor in this. And we know that he was loved very dearly. The next verse tells us that Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. But he was hated. You have it there in verse 4 where it says they hated him. You have it again in the next verse. They hated him yet the more. And if you run your eye down to verse 8, they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And so what did they do? They conspired against him. You read the rest of this chapter, particularly from verse 18 right through to the end of the chapter, and you will see what they attempted to do. They conspired to kill him. That was their original intention. They wanted to take the life of young Joseph. They hated him so much. One of the brothers steps in, Reuben, and he thinks it's a bad idea to kill him. They decided to put him in a pit, leave him to the wild animals. It was the intention of his brother to come back again and get him out of the pit and release him to safety. But while he was away, well, you know the rest of the story. The Ishmaelites were passing by and he was sold into their hands. And then he was brought down into the land of Egypt and sold on into Potiphar's house. We're not going to think it a strange thing when we face hostility in this life. Young people expect it from the world. This world is not your friend. This world is not here to help you on to God. This world will show hostility to any young person that is seeking to stand up for Jesus Christ. You can expect it from your ungodly friends and from your neighbors round about and from strangers too. And sometimes it permeates right into the family as it did with Joseph. And Joseph had to receive the hostility of his brothers who hated him. God's people have often been hated, even by those who should have shown respect. So don't expect too much from the ungodly. You're going to face hostility. It may even come within the family circle. And let's believe it tonight, Satan is out to destroy the family if he can. My second point is this. You'll notice the promiscuity of Potiphar's wife. And here we will observe that Satan is seeking to destroy our fidelity. Chapter 39, this chapter that has been read tonight to us, records the history of Joseph becoming an employee of Potiphar, one of Pharaoh's officers. He's sold as a slave to the Ishmaelites by his brothers. He is brought down to Egypt. He's sold on as a slave into the home of this high-ranking Egyptian officer. But we read these amazing words, chapter 39 and verse 2, the Lord was with him. Despite all that's going on in his life and all these things that seem to be against him, despite the hostility of his brethren who had betrayed him, conspired against him, sold him as a slave, the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand, and it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field, and he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. However you want to read the rest of the story, here's the blessing of God in the midst of adversity. But it's not long before adversity comes again. And the seventh verse tells us that it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not or knoweth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. He is assaulted by this woman, assaulted by her beauty and her charm, and that has slain tens of thousands, as you probably know. I was thinking about the song that the women used to sing about Saul and David, and how that Saul had slain his thousands and David his 10,000s, and we can certainly say there are many things in this world that has slain the good Christian and brought them down and brought them away from God. This very matter here that we're thinking about has slain tens of thousands and brought many a young man and many a young woman away from God into deep sin. This woman, and I don't like to use any kind of explicit language from the pulpit, so I will just mention this, she was sexually sinful. This woman was morally corrupt. She was unfaithful because she had a husband, Potiphar. Joseph was probably a handsome young man as well. We have every reason to believe that. And of course, beauty can be a danger because it poses all kinds of problems. And here's a woman who's attracted to young Joseph. The lust of the flesh was more appealing among the heathen, undoubtedly. We think of Israel. And the Israelites were undoubtedly, because of the influence of grace and the influence of the Lord, they were a more modest people. But out there in the other nations of the world, including Egypt, they were an immodest people. And so therefore the lust of the flesh was more acceptable among the heathen. But she knew it was wrong. What she was doing, what she was suggesting to Joseph, she knew that it was wrong. And yet she cast her eyes upon him. And this is not just a look. And a look, say, that's a handsome young man, and it came to nothing more. This was a look of lust. This was a look of desire. And that look became so intense within her that she said, "Lie with me. Lie with me." Wanted Joseph to commit terrible sin with her. And she spoke to Joseph day by day. And you go on to read how she caught him by his garment. You see the progression here. How Satan is seeking to get in, and it all begins with a look. And then it goes much deeper. And there's some people, they will stop at nothing until they get what they desire. And this is the kind of a woman that she was, step by step. But young people, remember, it began with the eyes. Began with the eyes. Can't you think of another man of God in the Scripture who failed terribly here by the name of David? The man that was after God's own heart. On that occasion when he stayed, he lingered back in the city of Jerusalem. He should have been at war. He should have been in the battle. He should have been engaging in the fight for the Lord. But he lingered back. He stayed at the palace. He took a walk, and his eyes lighted upon a certain woman called Bathsheba. And he saw her beautiful. And then he desired her. He inquired after her. He sent for her. He lay with her and committed terrible sin that caused the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. But young people, it began right here. It began with the eyes. John Bunyan has written a very famous book that perhaps second to the Bible itself is the best-selling book in all the world, called Pilgrim's Progress. But he wrote another book called The Holy War. And that book is an allegory. It's the language of metaphor, setting before us really what happened in the fall. He talks about the city or the town of Mansoul, man's soul, and how this city was built for the glory of God. It was built by Shaddai, one of the names in the Hebrew for the Lord. But Diabolus tried to destroy this town. There were five gates in the city. There was ear gate, eye gate, nose gate, mouth gate, and field gate, the senses of man. And the two particular gates that were attacked by the enemy were eye gate and ear gate. And it hasn't changed. You remember how the Lord tells us in his word how Satan came to Eve. He began to speak to her. Began to speak to her things that she listened to by the ear. And then he set before her eyes the tree that God had forbidden to eat off. And was now attacking the eyes. And of course that is a picture of how the devil comes still to you and I today. And he seeks to bring us down, and he wants to destroy our fidelity, your purity, young people. We need to be aware of these things. Job the patriarch, we're told, he made a covenant with his eyes not to behold a maid, wouldn't even look at a woman. Because he realized what the eyes can do. He turned away his sight. He made a covenant before God. I will not look upon a young woman. I am a married man. I have no doubt in my mind that this woman, the wife of Potiphar, was a provocative person. In her words, the things that she said. In her looks, the very expressions of her face, the gestures that she made. She was provocative in her appearance, in her dress. And there are warnings here. There is a moral code for the believer. There are biblical guidelines given to us, even with regard to how we dress in this world. You just turn over for a moment to 1 Timothy. Listen to what the word of the Lord says here in verses 9 and 10. It is important to mark these words. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Women who profess to know the Lord, they profess godliness. Scripture teaches that these women are to dress in a modest way, in modest apparel. So this woman comes. She's seeking to bring Joseph down. But what is Joseph's answer? Verses 8 and 9. We're going back now to Genesis 39. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth knoweth not what is with me in this house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? There's his answer. And he fled. In verse 12, we find that she catches him by the garment, says, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. Joseph did the right thing. And it's the only course of action. When we are faced with such things, we get out of there. We flee. Oh, there was lies. And there was deceit. Joseph's taken to prison. We will sometimes suffer for our faithfulness to God and in maintaining our high standards of morality and goodness, but we need to learn from Joseph. We need to learn what Satan is trying to do. And Satan wants to destroy you, young people. He wants to destroy your holiness, your fidelity. My third and final point is simply this. We notice the misery of the prison. And I think here Satan is trying to destroy our faith. Joseph went to jail, not the fancy kind of jails that we have in the world today, or at least this part of the world. It was the worst kind. And we know that his feet were hurt in iron shackles. Doesn't tell us in the history of Genesis, but the psalmist in the Psalm 105 tells us that that was so. And this was another great trial to Joseph. There's no doubt that the Lord was so merciful in every situation that he found himself in. And the Lord blessed him, and the Lord prospered him, and the Lord looked after him, and the Lord gave him favor. Even here, right here in the prison, as you read those latter verses, gave him favor with the jailer. And the jailer, he could see that God was with this young man, and that everything he did, the Lord made it to prosper, because God honors those that honor him. You put the Lord first and you seek to stand for him and live the way that God wants you to live, and God will honor you for that. However, the blessings and protection and mercy of God to Joseph did not take away from the fact that this young man suffered. He suffered greatly. Hated by his brothers, conspired against, sold as a slave to the Ishmaelites. His father thought him to be dead. Taken from his country, taken from his home, taken from his father where he was loved and protected and cared for, brought into a hostile land, sold on as a slave into that land, tested and tried, lied about, cast into prison. And surely he must have thought many a time, what's going on? What's happening here? Why am I going through this trial? These were difficult providences that God allowed Joseph to go through. Why? Why is the Lord permitting this? He must have asked that question. Joseph's trials and troubles were very difficult. And now he's in prison. He's forgotten about. Forgotten about by the butler, whose dream he had interpreted. If you look at chapter 40 and Mark verse 14, but think on me when it shall be well with thee, because the dream has been interpreted and Joseph has told the butler, you're going to get out of prison. Joseph is saying, now when you get out and it goes well with you, don't forget me. But look at verse 20, towards the end of the chapter. It came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants, and he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand, but he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. A long trial, a difficult trial. How long, you ask, how long was he in Egypt, forsaken by his brothers? They probably thought by now that he was dead, sold as a slave. He likely ended up dying in that condition. How long was he in Potiphar's house? How long was he in prison? Well, we know that he was 17 when he was sold as a slave. We know that he was 30 when he was promoted to be prime minister in the country. And so we're talking here about at least 13 years. Maybe 11 years with Potiphar and 2 years in prison. But it's hard to say exactly when he was put into the prison. But he was there in prison at least 2 years. It was another 9 years before the first visit of his brothers to Egypt. During the second year of the famine. That's when they came seeking for food. So there was the 7 plentiful years when all the produce was gathered into the storehouses. And then in the second year of the famine, the brothers visited. And then it was another 2 years before their second visit. Joseph is now 41. You want to think about that. For 24 years, he was apart from his family. And that must have been a great trial to his faith. Now, God was pleased to take and promote this faithful, godly young man and make him great in the land of Egypt. He was the means of saving his family in a time of terrible trouble and famine. He lived until he was 110. The Lord gave him a good long life and blessed him. As you study his life, you will find that he's one of the most beautiful types of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, none can tell what God will do with a faithful young person today. You stand for the Lord the way that Joseph did. Despite any hardship that you come through, despite the fact that maybe one trial seems to be coming after another, nobody can tell what God will do with you if you stand for him and are faithful to him. You could be the means of saving your family. Oh, I trust that God will speak. Because young people, tonight I want to tell you, and you know this already, that we love you in the Lord. This denomination, the ministers of this denomination, the elders of this denomination, your minister, your elders, the leaders of your church, we love you, young people, in the Lord. And we want you to walk with God, and we want you to take your stand for the Lord. We want you to do right for God in this life, because we know it's the only way to live. We believe, as I said at the beginning, in the perseverance of the saints. May God help you to persevere, to stand up for the Lord, to do that which is right, to keep yourself right in the sight of God in what you do. May he make you holy, young men and young women, and be pleased to use you mightily in his work and his service, as he did for Joseph in the coming days and years. Let us pray. God always speaks through his word. He has spoken tonight. And maybe there are things that you need to put right in your life. You know them to be wrong. Maybe you've stepped out of the way. You've got out of the way terribly. Maybe there's nobody even knows about it, the life that you're living. But God knows about it. Well, young person, you need to get right with God tonight. And for all of you young people, live right. Glorify God in the way that you conduct yourself in this life. Know his blessing resting upon you. Live like Joseph lived in his day. And God will be with you. And he will bless you and he will prosper you. And he will enable you to do great things for him. Oh, Father, we just commit ourselves to thee in the word. Thank thee for this amazing example way back in the heart of Old Testament history in the life of Joseph and the man that he was. We see how Satan tried to destroy his family, tried to destroy his fidelity, tried to destroy his faith. But Joseph was more than a conqueror through him. And Lord, we know that we can be more than a conqueror through Christ, our blessed Redeemer. Help us to live in the victory and the triumph over the world, the flesh, and the devil, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Will I close with one final hymn? 526. 526. I have only one life on this earth, and as vapor it's passing away. I must labor for treasures of worth ere toil ends at the close of the day. 526. And we'll stand to sing the first and the final verse, verse 1 and verse number 3, after the introduction. Let's stand to sing. Father and our God in heaven, we thank you for our meeting tonight. We do pray, O God, that you would continue to speak on and stir and move in the hearts of these young people. We pray, O God, that you would stir them to be about their master's business, Lord, to get involved in the work of your church. We do pray, O Lord, that you would help us, Lord, in the midst of the fight, in the midst of the struggles, when Satan would come and try to destroy us. Lord, even as he came, O God, and Lord, he tried to destroy Peter, but yet we have one in heaven who prays for us. We rejoice tonight in Christ. He is our victory, and in him we shall be victorious. Lord, I pray you'll bless us and keep your hand upon us. And we ask, O Lord, you'll bless our time of fellowship together, the food that has been provided. May you pray you'll bless the hands that made it. And we ask these things in the name of your own precious Son. Amen. We just remind you that there is food and fellowship.